You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
And you come in here on a Friday, and it's really good weather, and the vibes are good. I mean, there's no way, when you hear this song, it just gets you going, right? It is, we are ready to roll here on a Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Football Friday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Welcome in, everybody. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday, and we have a very important Friday for you today for a lot of reasons. Of course, first and foremost, the Buffalo Bills at the Baltimore Ravens Sunday, 8:20 p.m. I do the 8:15, 8:20 thing all the time. I get Monday, Thursday, and one of them, one's 8:20, the other two are 8:15. We're going to do this right now. Do you know off the top of your head so I don't confuse the listeners here, Josh?
I think you're right. I think Sunday is 8:20 and the other ones are 8:15.
And I think that is right. I'm going to look right now. Sunday night football is 8:20 p.m. Monday night football is 8:15 p.m. Even when they do the double dip Monday, it's 8:15. There's a regular, when you're not doing the double, it's the normal time is 8:15. And Thursday night is also 8:15. So that's the way I remember it. Thursday, Monday is 8:15. Sunday is 8:20. Not sure why they do it a little differently there. NBC is like, no, we need the extra 5 minutes to get the song in.
That's like when, like that's like when baseball games are like 107 for the first pitch.
No, that's right. They list it. If you on the Sabres schedule, it will say like, well, it'll say 7 or 7:05 for games.
I think it's a 7.
I think they say 7, right?
Yeah, but usually it's like 7:05.
Right, but it never actually starts. Yeah, see, 7, it's never actually starts at 7.
Right.
But in baseball, you're right. First pitch, they'll say like 1:07 p.m. You'll see it listed like that sometimes.
Right. And I think that's like accounting for anthem and commercials and all that other stuff.
The kickoff time, though, for the game on Sunday night is 8:20 p.m. That is the kickoff for the Bills at the Ravens. And it's a big game for both teams, a really big game. I'd like to get your thoughts on it, and let's get this in early today, because we have a lot to get to a little bit later. We will actually sneak in some Sabres on a Buffalo Football Friday today, because we're going to make it a little bit of a football slash a little bit of hockey Friday, because the Sabres made news yesterday by naming Rasmus Dahlin their 37th captain in franchise history, I believe is what they said. So I'm going to have to look at that to get the number right. Josh, I look at you. You're supposed to know these things for me, buddy.
I wasn't alive for like...
Hey, who cares? They wrote it yesterday on social. 37th captain. You're doing the updates. That's like the part of the update. He's the 37th captain. I think he is. 34, 37. You'll figure it out. You'll take a look. I think it's the 37th captain in franchise history. And by the way, you're going to have to name all of them today. I'm just kidding. You don't really have to do that.
I just pulled up a list. Why don't you name all
of them? Well, I could go way back. And Lindy Ruff, right? Who was the first captain I remember, though? Ooh, Danny Gare. Was he a captain? I think he might have been.
He was. 1977, 78, and 1980, 81.
Garrett was the first captain I remember. And then after that, Gilbert Perreault became captain probably, right? Not too long after that. When did Perreault become captain?
The next season, 81.
See, 82. I can do this.
Right? How long was he captain?
Until 88?
Nope. 86.
86.
Then Lindy Ruff took over.
Okay, hold on. Then Lindy Ruff in 86 until what year?
89.
Ooh, 89. That was before they got LaFontaine. That get a little hazy in there from 89.
The next one was only 89 to 90.
Okay.
And it actually wasn't even like a full season. Well, this guy took over in February of 89 and was relieved in December of 90 because of injuries.
Oh, well, and then he took over because of trades probably. Who was it?
Mike Foligno.
Foligno was a captain. That's correct. And then after that, LaFontaine comes in, he becomes captain at some point, right?
Yes, but not till 92.
Okay.
Then you have Dave Andrechuk and Mike Ramsey mixed in there.
See, and my all-time favorite Saber is Mike Ramsey. I don't know if you know that. He's number five. Yeah. I think he should be up in the rafters. Anyway, that's a discussion for another time, but Paul Hamilton will have a discussion about Rasmus Dahlin and being named captain. And by the way, Dahlin did meet with the media this morning, not too long ago, so we'll get Paul on his thoughts and Rasmus Dahlin's thoughts and what happened. I want to get your thoughts on the Bills and the Ravens, a very, very interesting matchup coming up Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. This is a game where, and by the way, 803-0550, I would say open phone lines now, get your comments, your questions, your opinions in on a Buffalo Football Friday now, because once we get to 10:30, we have Paul Hamilton, and then it's going to be Sean McDermott today at 11:15 a.m. So McDermott, of course, always joins me on a Friday. You had to adjust some things the last few weeks because of different times. This is a night game, but it's a Sunday night game. So it will be a normal Friday practice for the Bills today. We'll get an injury update from the head coach. 11:15 a.m. today is when Sean McDermott joins me on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So you want to tune in for that as well. 11:30, a very important weather update from Patrick Hammer. We are watching this system and for a couple of different reasons, right? Helene, the hurricane that has now pummeled the, Big Bend area, Panhandle area, Tallahassee, up in that region, North Florida, now moving into the Southeast United States. The video and the images that are coming out are just heartbreaking for some of these areas and people and their homes and their neighborhoods and the flooding and over 2 million people without power. Just catastrophic. So we'll talk with Pat Hammer about that, but also because some of the remnants or the outer bands or whatever, this system, it's not necessarily the hurricane itself, which is actually going to move a little bit away from Baltimore, but some of the things that are associated with the weather are going to impact the weather on Sunday night in Baltimore. And that means rain. How much rain, how often rain, how hard rain, any wind associated with it. Pat Hammer is going to give us all those details at 11:30 a.m. today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So be ready for that. We'll talk about that. I do wonder who it favors. Joe just said that to me on his way out. He's like, who does that favor? I said, you know what? I would think it would favor the Ravens. Normally weather is a neutralizer of a passing game, but in the Ravens' strength is running the ball, but they can throw, obviously, with Lamar Jackson. But that said, you can make an argument that, if it's going to rain, it could slow down the running game just a little bit wetter field. That could play more into a Buffalo Bills advantage. Either way, you got to play the game. And look, Eric Wood has always said to me, if the officials are doing their jobs, rain really doesn't impact the game too much as far as a wet ball. You'll keep the ball dry. The footing is what you think about, but also a lot of these stadiums, these grounds crews, are so good at keeping these stadiums and this turf and the grass, ready and covered up that it doesn't impact too much unless it gets super soggy. So we'll see about that from Pat Hammer. And hopefully it doesn't rain at all, right? I'd like to just see a clean game. I like to see clean games. And hopefully that's going to be the case on Sunday night. I don't think so, though. I think it's going to rain in some capacity, and Pat Hammer is going to tell us all about it at 11:30. 803-0550. Comments, questions, whatever you want on the Bills and the Ravens. Think about how big of a game this is, really, for both teams, but with standings-wise for both teams, right? I mean, you want to beat your conference rival. You want to beat a team that you think, you could be vying for home field in playoffs with come January. And both these teams are like that. The Bills and the Ravens both have designs on winning their divisions. And if you do that, you get one of the top four seeds. And from there, you get a home game. And if you meet each other in the playoffs, if they're a wild card and you're a home team, of course, they're coming to your place. And you'd love to have that happen. At this point, remarkably, thinking about all the different ways that people said the Bills would be taking steps back, at this point, the Bills are very much in line to compete for the number one seed. Right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the number one seed in the AFC at 3-0. Does anyone think that Pittsburgh is really going to be there in the end? I mean, Hey, no disrespect to how they're playing. They're playing excellent defense. I just can't see them sustaining through this season to be there. But the Chiefs are right there at 3-0, of course. The Bills are 3-0. Houston, who the Bills have next week, is 2-1. And then you have the Jets looming right on your division heels at 2-1. But for the Ravens, I would say this game is even more important from that standpoint. The Ravens are 1-2. The Steelers are 3-0. I think the Steelers go 4-0 this week. We'll talk about all the games a little bit later. I think the Ravens go to the Steelers go to Indianapolis this week and they beat the Colts. Now maybe the Colts come up with a really inspiring good victory. But if the Steelers, who by the way have won 3 games by not scoring more than 20 points in any game, if the Steelers do go to Indy and go 4-0, you're looking at a Ravens team, if they drop a game to the Bills, that then falls 3 games behind after only 4 games played on the season. And they can't do that. They don't want to do that, of course. So a 1-2 Ravens team needs a victory badly here at home against a conference rival and a team that they'll be fighting in their conference with. For the Bills, for me, I know it sounds kind of cliche, but it's true. Just keep doing what you've been doing, man. Just keep doing what you've been doing. Now, other teams are going to have plans for the Bills' offense and the Bills' defense that they've seen on film. And they're going to gear up to stop things that Joe Brady and Josh Allen are doing. And on the defensive side, with Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage are doing. There's no doubt. So the Ravens will have some wrinkles. And this is a tough team. This is a very, very different matchup than last week, which I'll get into in a minute. But if the Bills just keep doing what they're doing, playing how they've been playing, they are still in a great position to win a game against a very good team. The Bills, by the way, are underdogs in this game. It's a 2.5-point spread. So Vegas, the bettors, they have the Ravens as the favored team. That doesn't surprise me too much. Someone called the morning show saying they were surprised by that. Why? The Ravens are really good, and they're at home. It shouldn't surprise you that they're a 2.5-point favorite. Maybe it seems a little high for you, but to me, 1 to 2 points seemed about right. It's 2.5. I can live with it. I understand why. It's a home game, prime time, for a Baltimore Ravens team that has very much excelled in that spot traditionally. It's going to be their Darkness Falls game. They're wearing their black uniforms. It's going to be a very loud, raucous crowd. Again, it could be some weather involved. You understand why the Ravens are favored in this game by 2.5 points. But the Bills are steady as you go, which hasn't been the Ravens, by the way. If you think about the Ravens the first 2 weeks, they go to Kansas City. They go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. They lose on a, well, they would have tied it. I guess it would have went for 2. Who knows? Maybe they lose anyway if they go for 2 and miss it. They would have went for 2. Remember the last play of the game? Isaiah likely scores a touchdown, and then it's taken back after it was shown that his toe was on the white line. Good call, but it takes him out of an opportunity to win the game with a 2-point conversion or lose the game. They lose 27-20. The next week, they knocked me out of my death pool. I had the Raiders losing to the Ravens. Who didn't, though, right? I mean, that was like the call of the week. In week 2, Josh, I had, in a Survivor League, the Ravens winning, in a death pool, the Raiders losing, so I lost both of them and I was out. See ya. Now so the Ravens in week 2 lose to the Raiders 26-23. And this game really started to show some warts for the Ravens, right? I mean, Gardner Minshew throwing, going 30 of 38 against the Ravens defense for 276 yards. Derrick Henry was good that game. Not what he was the next game, though. They bounce back. They beat the Dallas Cowboys. And pretty handily, by the way, until the end, right? They were in front, I should say, and they were in control pretty handily until the fourth quarter when the Cowboys made a run. But Derrick Henry in that game, much, much of a different story. 25 carries, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns. That is where this game lies on the Buffalo Bills. The Bills' ability or inability to slow down Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens run game is where this game will be won or lost. I have confidence the Bills can at least neutralize that passing game. As great as Lamar Jackson can be and has been in winning 2 MVPs, the Bills' pass defense has been very good. Their pass rush has been very good. They've married that up. They have done a really nice job. They have guys playing, I mean, really kind of out of their mind a little bit here. They have guys playing at a very, very high level. This game's going to come down to the Ravens running the football right at the Buffalo Bills with Derrick Henry and then mixing in Lamar Jackson. Can the Bills stop it? Can the Bills slow it down enough to, even if you give up some yards, you don't give up the big play and the touchdown? Red zone, things like that. Don't give up the big play. Don't give up the touchdown. Buckle up in the red zone. The run game is where this is at. And sure, the Ravens will make some plays in the passing game. That's what they're going to do. But that's where this game lies from a defensive side for the Bills. For an offensive side, as I said, just do what you've been doing. There are some indicators on the offensive side for the Bills of how they could take advantage of the Baltimore Ravens. Secondary. Ravens secondary has not been that good this year. And really, it might come down to the fact that their pass rush hasn't been all that great. I want to give you a couple of numbers, okay? Here's the Ravens this year, Baltimore Ravens. Defensively, their rank. Passing yards per game given up, last in the league, close to 300, 291. Now, some of that is Cowboys coming back last week and just throwing all over them. But again, Gardner Minshew threw. Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, you go back to week one, week two. They've given up some yards. Pass, but it's not just the yards and volume. Passing yards per play, close to 7.5, 28th in the league. Part of the reason this is happening, their bottom half of the league, or right there in middle of the league, middle to bottom half, 16th overall, sorry, in sacks per pass attempt. They're not quite getting to the quarterback. That's why I think weather's such a factor here. If Josh Allen has some time, which he should, according to these numbers, he should be able to make some plays down the field against this Ravens defense. Weather could be a factor here. However, the Ravens do play a lot of zone. It's not man-to-man. It's not like Jacksonville last week. And the Bills will have to find ways to beat that. So I think this game is fascinating from an X and O standpoint. I think this game is fascinating from a schematic strategy standpoint. And we can talk a lot more about it. 803-0550 is the number to call. You can get your phone calls in here. Kathy is first up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It says you're in Tampa Bay, Kathy. Is that correct? And how are you doing over there?
Oh, we're fine, actually. We're just far enough south. We're a little farther south than Tampa Bay. Okay. But
so Are you near Sarasota?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
I have a cousin who was down in Siesta Key, and they had to evacuate where they were.
Yeah, on the coast they evacuated, but I'm like 15 minutes from the coast, so okay. It's far enough in that we didn't even lose power. So,
all right, great. I love that you're doing okay, and I appreciate you calling. What's going on?
So, thanks for taking my call. So, I've been thinking about Mike Ramsey a lot lately. So, when you mentioned that he was your favorite player, I think that was the catalyst to give me a call. But you know, I was watching, the Miami game, right? And, they're showing Jalen Ramsey catching the pass. And I'm like, number five, that's Mike Ramsey, So it says, Ramsey in five. And that's like, yeah. Brought that to me. And then I was there, back in 1980 when Mike first came to the Sabres after the Miracle on Ice. So they, they came, they had a big ceremony for him. He came out with the gold medal, and stuff when he first came and joined the Sabres after they won the gold medal in the Olympics.
I love that. And when I was a kid, I was like 7 years old, maybe. This might be one of the reasons why he was my favorite. But I remember he came to our school. He came to like Cleveland Hill Elementary School. Okay. Just kind of do like a meet and greet. And I remember meeting him and I was a little kid. And maybe that's why. But I loved his game. I loved him. He should be hanging up, by the way, number retired. And I think I think both Ramseys have a claim to that. But I think Mike for sure. Yeah. But I loved watching him. When did you move down to Florida?
After the second Super Bowl.
Okay, so you've been down there quite a while, actually.
Yeah.
You've been down there. Mm-hmm. And then the first Super Bowl was obviously in Tampa Bay. All right, and then Bills, you're still rooting for the Bills down there, or what?
Oh, for sure. And I had a little thing, So when I was thinking about the Miracle on Ice, it reminded me of, Herb Brooks.
Yeah.
And how he put his team together, and how nobody thought they would be able to win, and how he picked people who weren't the name players. To make that team, but he made this huge team and the team was able to go and win gold and surprise everybody. And I kind of think that's what McDermott's doing. We have all these players who are not the name players anymore. We've lost all our name players, but I think we can go all the way and win the Super Bowl this year,
Hey, listen, that'd be great. Obviously, I agree with you as far as how they've constructed this team. And Kathy, I've said a few times, it reminds me of the 2017 team when Sean McDermott came in and they kind of traded Sammy Watkins and Ronald Darby. And sure, you had a few names that were here, but people were like, well, this team, who are they? They're going to stink. And then they wound up breaking the drought because of how well they came together as a team. It reminds me a lot of that year. And of course, a big difference is you do have Josh Allen now and you have a lot of really good players, but a lot of the roster construction and philosophy and culture reminds me of it.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this year.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. And stay safe down there, okay?
Thank you. Go Bills.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. All right, Kathy, thank you. I really appreciate that. Man, yeah, some of the pictures and video coming out from down there are just incredible. So I'm glad that she's doing okay. Butch, on the east side, what's going on, my man?
My brother, from another mother. It's good to hear your voice, Sal. Always outstanding job you're doing. I am so proud of you. Make sure you kiss the queen and give my nephew a high five. But first of all, I just want to say I respect and I love MSG. I love WGR and the fans. You guys out there, I know I love you guys as well. So I got to get right to it. It's a couple things, really. Number one, offensively, I just want Joe Brady to understand the concept that we're not playing fantasy football anymore. We're playing regular football, and we're playing 10 yards at a time, moving the ball up the field, wherever's open, get it. I applaud him for that. Secondly, on the defensive side of the ball, if I'm Bobby and I'm Sean, it's two things I'm going to do. It's just simple as that. I'm going to have a defensive meeting. I'm going to talk to my cornerbacks, and I'm going to say, this is going to be the game plan. What we're going to do is we're going to take the tight end out. Obviously, we're going to double him, and then we'll double take Flowers out the game. The other receiver is going to be one-on-one with whoever's checking. And we're going to stack the line. We're going to chop the big guy. My father always told me, he said, Butch, you're only 5'9", 5'10". He said, but when you fight somebody tall, don't try to grab him from the top. Always take his legs out. And that's the way we're going to have to do the running back. And Flowers on the defensive side of the ball, and that way Flowers on the line, you stack him. And now back to that cornerback I was speaking about. In the defensive meeting, I'm just going to say, listen, we're 3-0. If we go 3-1, it's going to be because you guys are not doing your job playing this outside guy. We're going to make, just like Steve said yesterday, we're going to make a Lamar Jackson throw this rock. But he's only going to have one place to throw it to. He's going to have to be a pinpoint assignment. We're going to see if he's really the quarterback that everybody say he is. Can he throw like everybody say? I don't believe it. See, me personally, I think Lamar's a good running back. He's not a good quarterback. That's just my opinion, though. He's a good football player. But he's not the pinpoint quarterback. I'm not even going to compare him to Josh. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to compare him to anybody else. That he has to make that pinpoint throw under pressure. I'm going to put the whole game plan on defensive side ball on that. He loves the tight end. He loves inside game. He loves to throw to Flowers if you can get him. I'm going to take all of that out. I'm going to rush and blitz him, corner him so he can't run, and make him throw one-on-one whoever's checking. I'm going to tell the cornerback, listen, our one loss is just going to be on you guys back there checking this outside guy. If he beats you, he beats you. And that's how I'm going to do it. But Sal, I love you, man. You keep doing what you're doing. What time are you flying out today?
We don't leave till tomorrow, actually. It's always the day before the game.
All right. Well, you enjoy yourself down there, man. Get you some crabs if you can, brother.
You got it, buddy.
I got family all in Baltimore, man. So I already know about them crabs with the papers, with the newspaper on the table and the mallets. You know what I mean?
I got you, buddy. Anyway, I'll have one for you. Much love. Thank you. You got it.
You too.
All right. Thank you. You got it. That is Butch. Always fun to talk to Butch and get his opinion. I disagree with him about Lamar not being a very good quarterback or pinpoint. I do understand, though, Butch, making that one great throw that he has to make when the chips are down. I think sometimes, people say that has been the flaw. He has not been able to step up in the playoffs when that has happened. But, man, the man is a two-time MVP. I want to give respect to that. He did throw 36 touchdown passes his first MVP year in 2019. Hasn't come close to that since. 26 the year after, and then 16, 17, 24 last year by winning an MVP. He's never thrown for 3,700 yards in a season. So I get the sentiment, but, man, I do think he can throw the ball really, really well. But, hey, there are some questions sometimes about in those tight moments, in those big moments in the playoffs where he's fallen short. As far as the receivers for the Baltimore Ravens, Zay Flowers is a guy he leans on a lot. 16 catches, 148 yards. He leads the Ravens in both categories so far this year. They have not used their tight ends the way that I thought they would. Isaiah Likely, first game, really nice game. Hasn't done as much since. And where's Mark Andrews been? They're going to try and work the middle of the field with all those guys, though, I think. Flowers, Likely, and Mark Andrews. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Clover before we wrap up the half hour. Clover in Texas. What's going on, Clover? Good to talk to you.
Hey, Hey, Sal, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, good. Yeah, I just want to say real quick, I was listening this morning, and that caller, Gina, I think from Delaware, I think she was a great call, and, and she basically said what we all think. We all really appreciate you, Sal, and all you do. And but, yeah, and I appreciate all that you describing the scene at the game. It was, like you're saying, it was like a party. And
it was amazing. Monday
really
night was awesome, yeah.
TV.
Yeah, for sure.
It was really coming through on the TV, too. Like, yeah. It was always loud, but it really felt like really electric on Monday night. But why I called today, I also, too, wanted to talk about the defense, about the cornerback play with Rasul Douglas and Christian Benvers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear you talk about just how great they're playing, and it's not something you really notice because, you know, they're shutting everybody down. You know, usually you notice cornerbacks when they're bad because they're giving up big plays.
Yeah.
But I saw Rasul Douglas the other day talking to the press, and he was saying how they are doing some extra work together, and then he was saying Kaiir Elam was also joining in. I know he's hurt right now, but does that go to Ingram is basically playing Teron Johnson's spot, so is Elam kind of moving up to be a backup for them now?
That's a good point. It's a good question, it's a good question. Ingram's not playing Taron Johnson's spot. Cam Lewis is playing Taron Johnson's spot. But Ingram does play the dime safety role. So your point is still right, though, which is if Ingram is concentrating more on the dime safety role, that would move Elam to be more of the, you know, first guy on the field as a boundary corner if they needed him. Now, I do wonder if something were to happen to Benford or Rasul Douglas, would they go to Ingram first or would they go to Elam first? Because if Ingram has to come in as the dime safety, then Elam would be the guy there. So it is a good question. And as far as, you know, working hard, hey, there's never been a question about Kaiir Elam's work ethic, right? The guy works very hard. Sean McDermott will tell you that. I'll tell you that. Brandon Bean will tell you that. You know, it hasn't come together quite, you know, great for him. It's been okay here this offseason, I think, a lot better for him. But it's good, obviously, he's getting work with those guys. And, you know, I mean, if he has to be called upon, I think they at least have confidence that he can go in and step in and, you know, have the role that he's supposed to have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they seem really great coaching everybody up. But, yeah, I'm super excited about the game. I think you're right. It's going to be a tough test. But, you know, I'm really confident in the offense. And then I know McDermott's had a great plan with Lamar in the past, but the question is Lamar and Henry together. That's going to be interesting to see what he dials up this week. But safe travel, Sal. Appreciate you. We'll be listening to you all weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Clover. I appreciate you as well. We'll be back in a snap. It is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. We're going to do some hockey talk when we get back because the Sabres have a new captain and Paul Hamilton's going to tell us all about it. Rasmus Dahlin, and by the way, an afternoon game today. It's kind of a night game where they are. It's an afternoon game today here in Western New York. We'll tell you all about that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, I got Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, together, you and me on a Friday, let's rejoice. Here we go.
What do we rejoice?
Well, here we go. Listen.
Trying to nail down the AL East, and this could do it. Volpe, and the Yankees win 10-1, and they clinch the American League East for the 21st time in their history, and they finish first for the 50th time. Since 1903.
Yankees baseball's back, Paul. They won the AL East last night. It took a few nights to get there, darn it, but they finally did it last night, buddy.
Yeah, they scored a bunch of runs, and what, Judge is at five games?
Oh, my
in
gosh.
A row now? He's hit a home run.
Oh, my, he's incredible.
Well, I have a goals pool and a home run pool that I've done since the 80s.
Wow.
And I had the third overall pick, and believe it or not, Judge was still there for me to take with the third overall pick.
Wow.
Soto went first and Olson went second.
Not even Ohtani?
Nope. Olson. Well, remember Olson had over 50 home runs last year.
Yeah, but man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
And I'm
okay.
Sitting there at third with, I don't have to think. I can pick right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Paul, when did you become a Yankees fan? Why? Do you remember that when you were a kid?
I'm wondering if it was the logo, because it seems like when I was a kid, of course, I was a Bills and a Sabres fan as a kid,
mm-hmm.
but I always took another team. So it was the Blackhawks in the NHL and the Chargers in the because they were in the West in the AFL. So, and I think I loved both of their jerseys. You know, I think the red Blackhawks is the best jersey in sports, and the Chargers were great with their lightning bolt down the pants and the blue jerseys and the whole thing. And so I think as a kid, I think I went for logos and for uniforms I like, because the Yankees were not good when I started liking them. They were one of the worst teams in the league.
Obviously, a lot of things changed. Winning a bunch of World Series. It's been a while. 2009, the last time, and of course, the journey's not over, and you know it's all about winning championships. But that was nice last night to be part of that. I actually let Max stay up last night to watch them win a division in the celebration, which was cool. A little past his bedtime. Sorry, it's a Thursday night, you know, and all that. But we watched that last night, which was very cool.
Now, what happens when you run into what Howard Simon has run into? His son works for the Yankees. What happens when your son starts working for the Mets?
Okay, the Mets I could handle. If it was the Red Sox, I'd be like, son, you don't want to take that job. You know, what are you talking about? No, we're going to do something else in life, okay? Time to pivot right now. It's all good. By the way, and I wouldn't be surprised, though. My son actually is into that stuff, like the team stuff. And he asked me a lot about, like, how contracts work and the scouts and what they do. And I'm like, man, this is like getting set up a little sports management here. So
He's gonna be an agent.
I know, right? I tell him that too. You'd be a good negotiator. He negotiates with us all the time. And by the way, he always wins. He negotiates with me, and he always wins. I just
Wait
want
a minute,
you to
Sal,
know.
Sal, you're the parent.
It doesn't matter.
You have to win.
No, he always wins. I give in. Paul, I am the softy in my house. I just want you to know. We have a term. My wife's, she always tells, I am the softy. So that's just what winds up happening. Hey, the Sabres are, and by the way, Max, obviously a big Sabres fan. I shared with him the news yesterday about Rasmus Dahlin. We watched the video that Josh Allen narrated there. So the Sabres putting on the full court press to promote their new captain. What are the Sabres getting in a captain in Rasmus Dahlin?
Well, you know, a couple of years ago when Don Granato and, you know, Dahlin was nowhere. He was awful on the ice. And he was getting just criticized by fans and media and Twitter. And he was getting crucified. And Granato and Adams just decided every time we are in front of a microphone, we are going to talk up Rasmus Dahlin. Even if he played poorly, he was the best player on the ice, and it worked because Rasmus Dahlin said to himself, wow, my coach has my back, you know, and that's when Rasmus Dahlin turned his game around and started playing like Rasmus Dahlin, like an all-star. And at the time, I'm thinking, he's going to make Dahlin captain, and I don't agree with that at all. I was a big Cousins person, and if Cousins was a captain, I'd be fine with it. But about last year, I thought to myself, you know what? This Dahlin thing is captain. I'm not sure that this isn't a bad idea. I kind of think this is a good idea. He really started winning me over watching him in practice when he would get on players, and if a drill wasn't done right, he'd just jump in front of them and do the drill himself to show them the right way to do it, like angry. And I thought, here's a leader. And, you know, even when we're in the room, you notice he's more joking around. He's more involved. He's not shy anymore. He's always holding himself accountable to the media. And he won me over. By last year, I thought, you know what? He should be the captain. And so I think it's a good choice.
Rasmus Dahlin and the Sabres, obviously, in Germany. Rasmus spoke to the media earlier today. What did he have to say about the honor and privilege of being the Sabres captain?
Well, he said it really meant a lot to him getting it from a guy like Lindy Ruff, who also was a captain of the Buffalo Sabres. When I looked it up, you know, I was a little surprised that Ruff was only captain for 2.5 years. I thought it was longer. Mm-hmm. But it was only 2.5 years that he was captain, but still he was. So he was an honor for him that Ruff thought enough about him to you know, make him the captain. He also said that even as a young kid, he always felt he was a leader. He wanted to be a leader on any team he was at because he wanted to be the guy that helped the team win. So he said this is really nothing new for him. He's very honored that they chose him. And one of the reasons he said he's honored is because it's doing it with these guys in this city. He goes, the core of the group, including him and the guys who are the alternate captains and the core that they have, he goes, there's one thing, they all have an absolute love for Buffalo and they want to do something special for the city and for each other. And he goes, that's what makes being captain of this team so special for him.
Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. Let's talk about the alternate captains. Alex Tuck, Dylan Cousins, Tage Thompson, Matias Samuelson. Any surprises in there? Any thoughts on those four names, those four guys?
Tuck, Thompson, Cousins, no surprise at all. Samuelson, very surprised.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about it, I know what Lindy Ruff was going for here. They've made a commitment to a core of players with contracts and everything. You know, you guys are the core. You guys are it. It wasn't like they didn't like Casey Mittelstadt, but they couldn't. You don't have enough money in your salary cap where you can pay everybody. So he was the one guy that they weren't going to pay. So they turned Casey Mittelstadt into a top four defenseman in Byram. So these are the guys. So I when you look at it that way, I understand why Samuelson is part of that group. For me, I probably would have gone with maybe the veteran in Zucker. Zucker.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta keep remembering it to say his name.
I always say Zucker. Is it Zucker?
It's Zucker.
Is
that... It's Zucker, yeah. Okay. I always remember Hook.
Okay, Hook. Zucker. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm still, since he hasn't been here that long, I still have to correct myself at times. Because you just said it wrong. So I probably would, he's the oldest guy now on the team. Believe it or not, now, there's only going to have one guy over 30. That's him. You got to go to the guys at 29. Really, of the Sabre group, not guys they've signed or brought in, the oldest guy is Tuck at 28. That's probably the way I go. But after I thought about it, I do understand what they're doing by making Samuelson one of those.
Well, we had somebody who tweeted in, Jack, who asked me to ask you specifically. So you took us right there. And the fans are even wondering, feels like a stretch, said he's always hurt. And when he's in, it seems like every three games he'll, be kind of up and down. Is that why it was a little more surprising to you that maybe his availability was a reason why maybe you were a little bit surprised that he was also one of these guys?
He's not really up and down. When he's not hurt, he's one of their best defensemen.
I agree.
I mean, with the reach he has, he's one of the best penalty killers in the NHL. I mean, he blocks shots. He's got that reach to take away passing lanes. But he plays hurt a lot, too, because he tries to fight through it when he can. Well, that doesn't make you an optimal player then when you're trying to play hurt. I've had a conversation with him on the record, and he agrees that maybe there are some things he can do to not put himself in position to get hurt. Sometimes you're going to get hurt. I mean, he went to the boards once and somebody landed on his leg and he got a leg injury. You can't avoid that. There's nothing you can do. But there are other things where maybe you hold on to the puck too long or you put yourself in a bad position and you wind up getting hurt. And those are the things I think he's going to try to concentrate on to maybe try to reduce some of the injuries that he's had.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Sabres are in Germany today, a 2:30 p.m. start. We're going to have that game for you, by the way, pregame coverage beginning at 2 p.m. over on the Bet 1520. So if you want to listen to the Sabres game today, 1520 the Bet, 2 p.m. pregame, 2:30 p.m. Puck drops at EHC Red Bull München. Correct me if I'm wrong. That is J.J. Paterka's former team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're a brand new arena. This is the first time it's being used. I've been reading some of the players' comments as they toured the arena. They love it. Tuck even said, he goes, I like Germany. He goes, maybe at the end of my career, this might be a place I'd come and play for a year if they wanted me.
There you go.
He said, just to give my family, my kids a chance to see German culture. He goes, to play in a beautiful rink like this. So he's already thinking ahead to when he's old and gray and it's almost time to wrap it up. So they've been very impressed with this new arena that they're going to be the first team to play in.
Okay, so how does this work for this team over the next several days? So let's say it's tonight. Today they have a preseason game with the core that's out there. How are they ramping up, Paul? Like, how do you see them kind of being prepared to take on the New Jersey Devils in a pair of games next week? Like, what's the workload, the management, the practice, the playing time, all that kind of stuff?
Well, Ruff said nothing changes training camp just transferred over to Germany.
Okay.
So from a practice standpoint, nothing changes. It's going to be just what we saw here when we were watching camp. and, you know, you throw a game in between. And then, you know, if they were here and the regular season were about to start, that's when you cut down your team. And Monday, it's basically, all right, it's regular season preparations. And that's what they're going to do, you know, Monday. They'll be in Prague by then. And training camp turns into regular season preparations. I mean, now they don't have to – well, yeah, they do have to cut down their team. They do have to get down to 23. 27 are there. They don't have to put them on a plane and send them home, but they do have to make your roster of 23. You would send them down on paper, or if somebody gets an injury in the next week, put them on IR. But they want you to have the players there. So on the Friday game, if you get some people injured – you got guys you can call up, and they're there. I mean, if you get a goalie injured on Friday, you're not getting, if your third goalie's in Buffalo or in Rochester, you're not getting them there by Saturday's game. You know, so, you know, that's the idea for these two teams is, you know, have your guys there that you can call up if you need them for that second game.
All right. Speaking of goalies, how do you think they handle these games back to back, less than 24 hours apart?
I would, in my mind, if it were me, have Luukkonen scheduled for both. I mean, he's not like he's tired or anything, mm-hmm. and goalies can play back-to-back. I mean, if it were March, I wouldn't be saying this probably, unless they were in desperate straits.
Right.
But I would have it in my mind he's back-to-back, but I would be watching the Friday game. If he didn't look real good Friday, and then I might turn to Levi for the Saturday game. What they might do, my guess is they both will play. My guess is one will play one and one will play the other, but that's only a guess on my part. Lindy Ruff has not revealed how he wants to use his goalies for that.
Last night, the Sabres beat the Ottawa Senators 3-2, and a lot of the players are playing in that contest, obviously, will be with the Rochester Amherst, but pretty cool to see Isaac Rosén score late in the game and then Noah Oslin getting the game winner in overtime.
I felt good for Oslin because it was you looked at the beginning of the game. He had a turnover that turned into the first Ottawa goal, and that's not like him. And I thought, and then he goes and scores a goal that winds up. I'm sure it was number one on SportsCenter in Canada, and I was just told that it also was was in SportsCenter in one of their top ten here in the U.S. too.
Nice.
It was one of the nicest goals you're going to see all year in overtime. It was just a beautiful goal. So kudos to him that he was able to not pout as a young player and worry about the turnover he had. You learn from it, but you got to move on. You can't dwell on it, and he didn't. And you know what? I sit there and watch Ottawa take the lead midway through the third period. I'm thinking, boy, these guys have worked hard from start to finish. In the first period, they outshot them 24-5. Ottawa went 19 minutes and 36 seconds without a shot, almost a full period after they scored their first goal. I mean, they were just all over them, but they couldn't. Linus Allmark, who played the first half of the game, was lights out, and they just couldn't score. And then Ottawa takes the lead in the third period. I'm going, these guys work so hard, and they might lose this game. And then Buffalo made a great play with the goaltender pulled. I thought Isak Rosén was phenomenal in this game. It was his best I've seen him all year, including Prospects Tournament. He really took that game over in shot attempts. He was all over the ice. That was an absolute cannon that he ripped from the circle. Komarov set him up over there for the one-timer. And then the beautiful goal that we already talked about by Oslin to win the hockey game. So they were able to score a couple of really nice goals to get the victory, a victory that they deserved. They did not deserve to lose that game.
By the way, Paul, the goal to win it by Oslin reminded a lot of people of the Pominville game winner on that same end of the ice and the way that he came around the front. Pretty amazing.
I didn't think of that, but you're right.
Yeah.
It is. And, of course, it was in that building.
Yep, that's right.
Coming from the same spot, but you're absolutely right. It was almost exactly the same. But the way he protected the puck, too. First of all, the way he protected it from the guys trying to defend him. And then Tokarski looked like he was trying for the poke check. Oslin knew, and he protected the puck from Tokarski, too, that he couldn't knock it off his stick. So I thought that was really impressive also.
Sabres in Germany. They will play today at 2:30 p.m., pregame at 2 p.m. You can follow Paul, of course, on Twitter at PHAM1717. Thanks a lot, Paul. I'm sure we're going to be talking next week, whether it's with me and you here on the Extra Point Show, whoever's here. I'm sure we're going to be ramping it up leading into next week's games. Thanks a lot,
buddy.
Sounds
good. Looking forward to it.
All right, you got it. That is Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. Of course, Paul's appearances on WGR. Let me bring that to you, as always. Paul is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back here on a Buffalo Football Friday. We'll get ready for Sean McDermott in the next half hour. Got a full slate of college football this weekend, including the University of Buffalo, the Bulls, traveling to UConn after their big win against Northern Illinois last week. Very, very big win. Great. Great job. That'll be a 12 p.m. start, a kickoff. We'll have that for you on the Bet 1520. At the same time, Syracuse hosts Holy Cross. Syracuse with a tough loss last week, last Friday night against Stanford. And then the big game this week is what? Alabama-Georgia, right? I'm losing my headphones here. Sorry. Alabama-Georgia, I think, play this week. And what is the I think it's a night game. Go to take a look exactly what time they're playing. Right, there you go. Georgia and Alabama. Alabama is now the favorite. It was started off with they were, I think, dogs. But now they're favored. All right. So let's take a timeout here. When we come back, we're going to look around the NFL, kind of give you my preview here on a Friday. And then we'll have Sean McDermott at about 11:15 a.m. So keep your head in a swivel. I always say that. You never know. He could call in a few minutes early. We'll get you back after this. I'll look around the league. We'll get Sean McDermott. We'll talk about injuries. Look ahead to the Baltimore Ravens game. That's Sean McDermott at 11:15. And then all-important weather update from Patrick Hammer at 11:30 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Sal Capaccio with you. And, of course, Buffalo Football Friday, as always, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, welcome back here to the second hour, 11 a.m. hour of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. And of course, it is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get to the Barnes Firm injury report with Sean McDermott coming up here in about 10 minutes from now. We'll do that. McDermott will give us an update on injuries and look ahead to the Baltimore Ravens coming up on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Big game for both teams, obviously. What do you got going on this weekend? Anything cool? Josh? Josh Schmidt.
I'm playing in my high school's alumni soccer game.
Wow, that is cool. I think that is super cool.
Yeah. I'm excited. I haven't been able to do it the past couple of years.
That's awesome for you, man.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
What position?
Goalie.
You're a goalie.
Always
were
was.
Always a goalie. I was never a good soccer player, but if you put me in goal, I'd be okay because I was a wide receiver. I catch and use the ball coming at me. Yeah. You know what I mean? So if I can use my hands, I got to use my hands. I'm not the foot guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
So if I can use my hands, it's okay. And that's the only position, obviously, you can use your hands. Good for you, man. That's awesome. Congratulations and good luck to you. Are you like one of the older or younger guys in this thing generally?
Older, or younger, I should say. Okay. But it's weird because like we do like a Wednesday night alumni like meetup thing in the winter and indoor, and it's probably going to be like that crowd. So like sometimes it's a mix of like people my age, people a few years older than me, and then people like way older than me. And I you never know what to expect.
Hey,
but it's always
you.
A really good time.
I love the fact you're still doing that. So that's awesome. Good for you. By the way, you know, hope you have a great weekend. It's going to be pretty nice here, I think. We'll get that from Pat Hammer. It's not going to be in Baltimore this weekend, so we're going to get an update on him on that weather at 11:30 a.m. today. How is that going to impact the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday night? We're also going to check in with, on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, our old friend Sean Stepner, who is in Baltimore now, WMAR. Sean was in Buffalo for many years. Now he's been in Baltimore for several years, but It's always game day in Buffalo. Matt Bova and I recorded a podcast a couple nights ago. You can check that out. You can subscribe to it, download it. We ask you to do that. We're always doing a few of these podcasts a week. It's on the Odyssey app. It's at WGR550.com and the Odyssey app, like I said. But wherever you get your podcasts, that's where you can find it. And of course, you can watch us as well on the Sal Sports YouTube page. Go to my YouTube page, Sal Sports. Check it out. We're right there. You see us. And I'm going to add another layer to this week's podcast by talking with Sean Steppner this afternoon. Just going to be brief. We're going to talk about the Ravens, what they're doing well, what they're not doing well, Mark Andrews' lack of involvement, the injuries on their side. So make sure you're tuned in, dialed in, wherever you got to do podcast on the audio side, wherever you pod on the video side at Sal Sports. It's always game day in Buffalo. Let's get to this week's games in the National Football League. Let's start with last night. Cowboys beat the Giants 20-15. No surprise for me that the Cowboys won. I thought it might be a little easier than it was. How about Brandon Aubrey? He is the new Justin Tucker. And what I mean by that is this dude just hits field goals from anywhere on the field. And of course, saying that, I tweeted that last night and then he missed one a little bit later in the game. But unbelievable. Last night, a 60-yarder to go along with a 40-yarder, and I think he had another, the only two field goals he had. On the other side, though, Greg Joseph, he was nailing field goals all night, but 20-15, a five-point win. A couple injuries to monitor, though. Malik Nabers left the game with a concussion. Sounds like he's going to be okay. And then Micah Parsons went off on a cart, and he was seen, I guess, I think it was limping or crunches or something like that after the game, but it looked like a leg injury for Micah Parsons. So a couple injuries to monitor there, but the Cowboys needed that win badly. Both teams are not very good, though, the Cowboys or the Giants. All right, let's start off Sunday, 1 o'clock. Saints at Falcons. NFC South matchup. Saints, who are the real Saints here? The first 2 weeks or what we saw last week against the Eagles when they couldn't do anything? Falcons, they're within a whisker of winning against the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't, so they dropped to 1-2. This game's in Atlanta. I like Atlanta to maybe win this game at home. I know the Saints have looked great, but I think the Falcons are still a pretty good team with some good talent and just haven't been able to put it together at the end of the game there. Bengals at Panthers. Sounds like Bengals should win this game, but come on, they're 0-3. They lose the Commanders at home on a Monday night, and the Panthers, Andy Dalton, look like a brand new team. They look great last week. I still would have to say I like the Bengals in this game, but come on. The Panthers, how can you discount them or count them out of this game? I wouldn't be surprised. The game between the two cats here, the Bengals and the Panthers in Carolina. Oh, I wonder how much weather's going to be a factor in that game as well. Rams at Bears. So both teams are 1-2 here. On the surface, it would look like, okay, the Rams should go and take care of business against a Bears team that just can't seem to get it going on offense. But Roma Dunze had a great game last week. They do have a pretty decent defense. Their offensive line has been not... I guess I'm reading some stuff today where it's actually better than people think it is. But the Rams and the Bears, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Both these teams are trying to keep pace with teams above them in their divisions. You can't go 1-3, right? And what I mean by that is Vikings, they're taking on the Packers. That's an NFC North matchup. Vikings are 3-0. Packers are 2-1. Can the Vikings get to 4-0? I mean, I see a lot of people putting the Bills, number one power rankings, and I don't disagree, or number two. And a lot of people saying no one's playing better on offense than the Bills. I think the Vikings are playing, and that's probably true. Vikings are playing really, really well on offense, though, right now. Think about what they're doing. 28, 23, 34 against the Texans. Sam Darnold looking really good. They go to the Packers, though, and the Packers... they look terrific as well, even with Malik Willis starting. They scored 30 last week. They win 16-10 over the Colts. They have a loss that now looks like a better loss, I guess you'd say, in Sao Paulo against the Philadelphia Eagles, 34-29 to start the year. These are two good teams right now, Vikings and Packers. This is a really important NFC North game at the start of the season here between the Vikings and the Packers, 1 p.m. Jags at Texans. Can the Jags fall to 0-4? Now, if you're a Bills fan, you're like, thinking, okay, you want the Texans to lose because they're an AFC team that you're going to be fighting with. But at the same time, you might want them to win so they're not coming in against you next week on two straight losses. Jags are 0-3. They need this game badly, or their season might be over. Maybe Doug Peterson is actually out of a job sooner rather than later. Some injury notes in this game, though. For the Jags, Evan Engram will not be back for this game, so he's going to miss another one. And then for the Texans, you have Tank Dell, who's injured. You have Joe Mixon, who's injured. I don't think either of them are going to play. If Tank Dell does, I guess there's a chance he could. He's got rib injuries. It sounds like he's trending the wrong way, but he could wind up playing but still be injured with his ribs. And Nico Collins showed up with a hamstring injury this week on the injury report. So Jags and Texans, interesting game there. And, of course, the Bills have the Texans a week from Sunday in Houston. The 3-0 Steelers go to the 1-2 Colts. Now, Steelers are 3-0. They've earned it. They deserve it. I don't think anybody's sitting here thinking that they're one of the top teams in the league, even with a 3-0 record. But I think they're going to go to 4-0 here. Wouldn't be stunned if the Colts beat them. I mean, the Steelers have trouble scoring a lot of points, and all it takes is a couple big plays by Anthony Richardson. Those haven't happened, though, really. The one big play against Houston early in the season, that incredible throw, they wound up losing that game. They do beat the Bears last week 20-16. But right now, the Steelers atop the AFC North at 3-0, a chance to go 4-0 at the Indianapolis Colts. I think they do. Wouldn't be stunned if the Colts win this game, but I think you got to take the Steelers here in the way they're playing defense, right? Speaking of playing defense, you know who's actually playing really good defense? It's gone a little bit under the radar. It's the Denver Broncos. They won last week against the Buccaneers 26-7. Week before that, it was their offense that couldn't get anything going against the Steelers. They lose 13-6. Even against the Seahawks, I think the Seahawks, if you look at go back at that game, there were a couple of turnovers, a couple of missed opportunities, but either way, Broncos defense, you know, they're rushing the passer pretty well. They're doing a really good job, actually. And now they get the Jets, who are very similar, right? Broncos are at the Jets. Big game for the Jets at home to build on that win last week they had against the Tennessee Titans. They're 2-1. Look, the Jets are a pretty good team. They're talented. We know that. You don't really totally trust them. You got to see it kind of play out a little bit here. This is a game where I think the Jets need to win, right? Like, if you're going to be the Jets and you're going to be talked about as being a team that, okay, Aaron Rodgers is back. You have this defense. You can contend for the division, contend for the playoffs. This is the kind of game you have to win. But, man, the Broncos, don't be surprised they give the Jets a fight. We'll see. I would expect a lower scoring game in this one between these two really good defenses. Interesting game, though, at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Also at 1 p.m., Eagles are at the Buccaneers. 2-1 Eagles, 2-1 Buccaneers. Isn't this where the Eagles' season ended last year? Let me look. Yes. 32-9. Remember that game? Eagles at Bucks, 32-9. The Buccaneers beat the Eagles last year in the playoffs. They go back this time in the regular season here in week number 4, and it's a big game for the Buccaneers to try and bounce back. Big game for both teams to get to 3-1 and, you know, show that they're kind of alive and for real. Not that their season's over. The NFC East and the NFC South can both be divisions here we can navigate through maybe from with the long haul. But let's see Baker Mayfield and Jalen Hurts and which guy steps up here for his respective team. The Eagles, to me, are playing as the better team overall, but that's maybe just because I saw last week the Buccaneers just didn't do anything. All the first 2 weeks, they looked pretty good. Eagles at Buccaneers, 2-1 at 2-1. Should be a fun contest in Tampa on Sunday. Also on Sunday, how about those Commanders? They go to the Bengals. They win on a Sunday night. And now, Monday night, excuse me. Now they go to the Cardinals. Cardinals look great in week 2 against the Rams, and then they come back a little bit to earth against the Lions last week. No shame in losing the Lions, but they're sitting at 1-2. This looked like a team that a lot of people thought, you know, and knows has a lot of talent coming into the year. They had the lead on the Bills. They blew the lead in week number 1. They go to the Rams, or say have the Rams at home, win big. Then they have the Lions at home, lose that game 20-13. Now you have a Washington team who has the best rookie quarterback right now playing in Jaden Daniels. I mean, of all the talk about Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, all those guys, it's Jaden Daniels who's playing the best football and was sensational last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. 21 of 23, 254, two touchdowns. I mean, over 90% completion. He also ran 12 times for 39 yards, scored a touchdown. The guy accounted for close to 300 yards of offense on 90% completion percentage. More than that, pretty remarkable. The Washington Commanders, can you imagine if they go to 3-1? Then they get Cleveland as well, and you're thinking, okay, they can win that game. The Commanders are alive right now. They really are. They're a team to watch for here in the NFC East. I don't know how sustainable it is. We'll find out. Patriots 49ers. Look, I mean, I would think that this game should be a 49ers, you know, you win pretty comfortably. But with all of their injuries and guys banged up, and it does look like George Kittle's going to come back, I guess you never know, right? The Patriots had 10 days here. Remember, they played that Thursday night against the Jets last week. But the Patriots have nothing to speak of on offense right now. They can't run the ball very well. They certainly can't throw the ball very well. They can play some defense, but what does it matter when your offense just keeps giving the ball back to the other team, either by a turnover or short field? Should be a 49ers win here, but with all the injuries with the 49ers, you just never know. They have to step up and rely on some guys to make sure that they don't fall to 1-3. They are 1-2 right now. Both teams are 1-2 there. Chiefs at the Chargers. Justin Herbert, he's hurt. He's playing hurt. He's playing through that. We don't exactly know what the situation with him is on Sunday. I don't think they're good enough to beat the Chiefs, but they always play him tough, right? And now you have Jim Harbaugh coming in. You know that he's circling these Chiefs games to kind of elevate his team and the profile of their team and their organization and the measuring stick against a Kansas City Chiefs team that, yes, is 3-0, but their wins have been by 7 points over the Ravens, 1 point over the Bengals, 5 points over the Falcons. And they're winning games, and that's what you do when you're good. You win games, you find ways to win. That's what you do if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you're a championship team. Yes, but they've also had some struggles along the way. Will those struggles bite them against the Chargers? Probably not. But let's see what happens when the Chiefs go to the Chargers on a 4:25 p.m. start on Sunday. Also 4:25, Browns at Raiders. A couple weeks ago, I would have told you, yeah, Browns would go to the Raiders and just, you know, walk all over them maybe even. Doesn't seem to be the case now. I think the Raiders could very well win this game. The Browns are not running the ball like we are normally used to seeing them run the ball. And Deshaun Watson, of course, a lot has been made of his play. It just is not up to standard in what they need in Cleveland. And now they're facing a Raiders team who beat the Ravens and then lost to the Carolina Panthers when Andy Dalton had an amazing game. This might be, I mean, kind of honestly, like just throw the coin up in the air, right? Mike Schoep and Bulldog were talking about how coin tosses might not actually be 50-50 depending on how they're flipped. This game, to me, is a 50-50. I have no idea what to expect from the Browns and no idea what to expect from the Raiders, to be quite honest with you. I think the Browns are the better team. They have the better roster. They, I think, have the better quarterback, but I guess not anymore the way he's playing. So who knows with this one. It is in Las Vegas, Browns at Raiders. Monday night, we got a couple of games going on. And, of course, Sunday night, the Bills are taking on the Baltimore Ravens. And that means right now, of course, we're going to get to Sean McDermott, head coach of the Buffalo Bills. He's going to join us here momentarily on the Wester Hotline. We'll get an update on injuries for the Bills, an update on, you know, playing on Sunday night. Look ahead, some weather might be an impact, and Sean McDermott joins us right now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Automotive. For whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
Sean McDermott joins me now on the Wester Hotline. Good morning, Coach. How are you? Welcome to another Football Friday.
Good morning, Sal. Good to be with you this morning, and looking forward to some good Friday night football tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know you've been getting into the high school scene a little bit, watching your son grow up there. It's pretty cool. I mean, you've been around, different parts of the country. You know what high school football means in a lot of areas, but it's pretty cool when you get those lights and those kids and getting revved up on a Friday night, isn't it?
Oh man, great memories for those kids, and those are memories they'll carry with them the rest of their lives, the lessons, so on and so forth. So yeah, it's always special on Friday nights.
Sean, as we always do, let's start off with injuries. You've had a couple of guys here limited this week, but we know that Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson, who didn't practice, are ruled out already. Kyer Elam was limited yesterday. What can you tell us about today's injury participation and anything about Sunday?
So, Terrell and Taron Johnson will be ruled out for the game. Terrell may get a little bit of practice in again today. Kyer should be full today and ready to go for the game.
Do you anticipate Taron doing anything today at all, or are we just waiting on that?
Yeah, waiting on that. I think it'll be more off the field type of stuff. He's still working to get himself to where he can get on the field at this point.
And then yesterday, Terrell wearing the red non-contact jersey, but we were out there watching, and it was just good to see him out there. How about for you and seeing Terrell and how you thought he got through yesterday's practice?
Right, it was great to see him out there. I mean, it's good for his teammates, for the team to see him, feel his energy and his leadership, and yet at the same time for him as well to get back in the pads and in the helmet and start to knock some of the rust off, if you will.
Sean, you've had 3 weeks and three players of the week now on either offense or defense. The latest is Josh Allen. It's been the 13 times now that Josh has won the player of the week. But I just want to talk about Josh and kind of his overall game here through 3 weeks. He seems to just be very in command of what you're doing, and a lot has been made about leadership and being a captain. What have you seen from him as far as just being calm and collected and leading the team off the field, but then, of course, performing on the field?
Right. His leadership and what we and everyone sees on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, whenever we play, is really a result of what he's doing every day on a very consistent basis in our building and on the practice field. Very steady in his approach to his leadership responsibilities, but also to the job that he has under center for us. So I think he's in a good spot, and it's just really fun to watch him play and play with this type of mentality, if you will.
Speaking of being fun, Monday night was very fun, especially as the game wound down and you had the game in hand. And you look back upon it, there were so many firsts, Coach. Keon's first touchdown, Ray Davis' first touchdown, DeMar's first interception, Jamarcus Ingram's sack, Javon Solomon's sack. I might have missed something in there. For you as a coach to see these guys experience their first big moment to come up with a stat, a touchdown, something like that, how cool is that?
It was awesome. I mean, a lot of firsts, as you said, and, you know, our young players getting experience, valuable experience, and starting to see some of the fruits of their hard work. And I've been very impressed with our young guys and how they've embraced the culture, and the veterans have done a great job at each position leading them. And I'll tell you, one of the most special moments that I'll always remember, and I didn't catch it until close to the end, but when the crowd and everyone was singing along to the Mr. Brightside, I think is the name of the song, and man, what a cool moment, right, for Buffalo Bills fans, Western New York, everyone in that stadium. And I had a guy tell me in the community the other day that he lives nearby, and he said it was unbelievably loud. He could hear it right from his driveway, and what a cool moment for us to experience together.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I had it on my notes to ask you about that. I wanted to know what you were doing in that moment as you're watching. You got the crowd going, but you're watching your players too. They're having fun. You know, the game is kind of in hand. Of course, you want to finish out the game the right way. We all know that. But you got Mac Collins on air guitar. You got Dawson Knox singing to Spencer Brown. I mean, what were you doing in that moment as you were taking that in?
Well, you know what? We were all focused, the coaches at least, and I'm sure a lot of the players and the players. It's, you know, you catch a glimpse of it and you're going, hey, you know what? This is what it's supposed to be like, right? This is what it's all about. The connection that's made. It's about moments. Life is about moments. Playing football, it's at every level. We talked earlier about Friday nights and high school football and now NFL football. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all human and we love these moments that we're sharing, and just special to be a part of it. And, I mean, I didn't really remember it, to be honest with you, until a couple of days later. And I said, what was that song? And everyone was telling me the name of it. And so we pulled it up, and just cool to watch the video that somebody took out there of the players, as you said, playing air guitar, singing along, knowing the words, fans doing the same thing. That was just awesome to see.
Sean, after the game, I asked Jamarcus Ingram to describe, you know, his sack, and he went into really good details, really great, and I'm really glad that he gave some praise to Coach Scott Booker. He is the nickel senior defensive assistant, but, you know, beyond him even, you have some newer coaches on your staff. We talk a lot about your coordinators, but how about some of these newer coaches, like Coach Booker, and there's other ones on your staff that have kind of really been ingrained now and this staff and what they're teaching. And when a guy like Ingram says to me that he's thinking what coach is saying to him in his head during the middle of the play, that goes a long way in what they're retaining.
It does. What a phenomenal job the staff has done. You mentioned the coordinators, and they get mentioned quite a bit, rightfully so. But there's a staff with, you know, on each side of the ball, including special teams. And Scott Booker is a valuable part of our staff. He's new this year, and Scott, along with a lot of the other coaches that are new this year, have just done a phenomenal job getting up to speed on what we want, and then going and executing it with their position groups Because that's really, you know, the teaching, the education, the educating, that's what really leads to the execution on the field. And those guys have done a great job at the ground level of getting these players ready to go every week.
We're going to turn our attention to the Baltimore Ravens, a team that you've been a bit familiar with here over the last several years. They've been near the top of the conference with you guys. You've played them a few times here. Obviously, the big challenge is going against the defense is great as well, but of course, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. When you go into a game like this, how much different is it for you as a defensive coach than it might be versus a lot of other teams because of all the different things they present?
Well, yeah, they bring a unique challenge. You know, previous to Derrick Henry even arriving, and now I thought they made a heck of a strategic move of going to get Derrick Henry. And I mean, that combination along with what they already had in Andrews and the tight end likely, and now with their wide receivers as well, Flowers in particular. So they're the number one ranked offense in the NFL yards wise. So they're really good, and you know, we'll have a challenge in front of us on Sunday night.
And then, of course, on the defensive side, I mean, they bring that Raiders mystique, especially on primetime, Coach. I mean, you remember and you know what it's like, you know, playing there and under the lights. They're going to have a Darkness Falls theme. They're going to be ready for the Buffalo Bills to come to town. What challenges do they pose on the defensive side?
Well, they're kind of steered by their front four. They've got some really talented players up front. That know how to stop the run and can get after the quarterback. And then they're talented on the perimeter, in particular of their defense. They like to play physical outside with the corners. And so it'll be a big test for us on that side of the ball as well. And then their kicking game, let's not forget, right? With their kicker and their punter, two of the best in the NFL. So, and then they've got Deontay Hardy at the returner position who was here just for a year with us, but a great guy, and we look forward to seeing him as well. So it all to me adds up for a great night, some high level competition, and we're looking forward to it.
And then last one for me, Coach. Every week it seems like you're playing against another coach that you're very familiar with. Maybe that's just because you've been coaching a while now. But John Harbaugh, of course, you guys have been on staffs, you know, over the years together. You're very familiar with each other. What's your relationship with Coach Harbaugh going back to your Philadelphia days?
Right, I learned a lot from being around Harbs at Philadelphia years ago. We were both there for a number of years, and then he left, obviously, to become the head coach, and then shortly thereafter I left to go to Carolina. So great coach, obviously a great coaching family. He's had a lot of success, and you know, the thing I think that's been very impressive about him is the consistency that he's had, and you know, it's impressive. And I think, you know, you look at what he's been able to do there and for how long he's been able to do it, it's just been very impressive.
Coach, best of luck on Sunday night. Thanks a lot for joining us here this week. We'll do it again next Friday. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, Sal. You too.
All right, you got it. That is head coach Sean McDermott. So Kyer Elam's going to be fine. I've been able to play. Full go today at practice, but we know that Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson are both not going to play, and then Terrell Bernard doing a little bit more at practice today. Okay, we'll let that soak in. We'll take a timeout here. Thank you to Sean McDermott for joining us here for his weekly Friday appearance. We'll come back after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with our guy Patrick Hammer to give us a weather check for Sunday night Bills at Ravens. Well, we'll be staying on top of some of the injuries with the Bills as well as the Ravens as we look ahead to Sunday. They're dealing with some injuries on their offensive line, so make sure you're on top of it at Sal Sports. You can follow along with me. I'll be taking a look at the Ravens injury report a little bit later today. Some offensive linemen who are banged up, so we'll get you all that. We're also monitoring and watching this hurricane, Helene, that has slammed the Southeast, the Gulf Coast, the Panhandle, and of course, the man that it's going to tell us a little bit more about that and how it might impact the weather between the Bills and the Ravens Sunday night is Pat Hammer.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Pat Hammer, WGRZ-TV, two chief meteorologist, joins me on the Wester Hotline. First, I'm going to start with an apology. Last week, I never asked you how you're feeling. Apparently, you had an accident. You're on the IR. You're injured. And I didn't. And people said to me, hey, how's Pat doing? I'm like, I never asked him. And I felt really bad about that. So I apologize. And how are you doing? And what the hell happened?
Yeah, Channel 2 released their injury report, and I've been on it now for a couple weeks. It was such a silly thing. I wish there was some heroic story to go along with breaking four ribs. But, you know, when I went to the doctor, my doctor said all the things that the doctor says to you when you get into your 50s, you need to get in shape. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I signed up at a gym and was going through a workout routine 3 days a week at a local gym. And somehow on my fourth visit, halfway through the workout, I was getting onto a rowing machine and I was running late behind the class by like 2 minutes. So I went too fast and I got onto the rowing machine, like mounting a horse. Right. But then I kept going and I fell backwards onto the rowing machine next to me back first. Oh, and when I got the x-rays and the CT scan and all that, they're like, yeah, you broke four ribs and you got a 4 to 6 week recovery. I'm like, wait, what? 4 to 6, what? And apparently ribs take their time to heal.
Yeah.
So that's where I've been doing. By the way, thank you for asking. Doing a lot better. Pain is getting better.
I mean, despite all the sports I played, you know, growing up and even as an adult, I'm going to knock on some wood. I've never broken a bone in my body. Okay. I'm very fortunate.
Neither have I.
Now you have. Right. But yeah. I would tell you that if, you know, just from being around sports and knowing, I would say ribs are one of the toughest ones to deal with. At least look, if you break your leg, it sucks. And you know, you can have a little recovery time, but ribs just, you have to deal with all the time. Right.
Yeah, well, there's no cast you can put on a rib, right?
Right.
Like you break, so they have to just heal on their own. You can't get comfortable sitting down. You can't get comfortable anywhere. And the worst thing, and if any of your listeners have had a rib injury, if you have to cough, laugh, or the worst, sneeze,
I'm sorry, man.
So my kids are making fun of me for this, and whenever they induce a laugh out of me, I'm like, you got to stop. There cannot be no laughing.
Sorry.
No coughing.
I will do my best to not make you laugh during this segment because, yeah, that's got to be tough. What about sleeping? Real quick, what about sleeping? Does it bother you?
Yeah, because you can't lay down on a bed. You got to kind of sleep sitting up, and you just don't really get comfortable. Mm. But it's getting better. On the mend, I'll be back to work in just maybe a week or two, and we'll be back. But, yeah, the sleeping is a no-go, pretty much.
All right, buddy, let's talk about Helene here, okay? This hurricane just rapidly moved to Category 4 before it struck land. We've had talks about hurricanes over the last few years because I used to live down in Florida, and I know a lot about these things and how devastating they can be. And some of these images are heartbreaking, seeing some of these houses and neighborhoods and the flooding that's going on. Tell us a little bit about Helene and what happened here.
Yeah, this area of Florida has had a history recently with hurricanes, an area that doesn't get all that many, believe it or not, but it rapidly intensified as expected. If there was anything good, is that it moved quickly. Not unlike, you know, some other storms that can sit and linger and just continue to devastate an area. But it was a storm surge because the ocean water is not very deep. There's a shelf, a continental shelf, if you will. So when the storm approaches, that water just piles up and it goes in inland. And I think it was a 15-foot storm surge. And the rain and the wind, I think the area, though, that may deal with more of an issue is inland. Places like Kentucky and Tennessee and Georgia, with just heavy rain once it hits the mountains there. And that's where there could be some horrible flooding today, tonight, and through the weekend. So that's going to have an impact on a lot of people. We will see a few light rain showers here on Saturday, but unlike the last hurricane we were concerned with, which was Beryl, that moved up through Texas and then headed here, this one won't do that. So, Okay. Just a few nuisance showers here.
All right, but Baltimore is where the Bills are playing on Sunday. What is the impact? If it's not even from Helene, what are we looking at on Sunday?
Yeah, first of all, what is it with the Ravens? Whenever we play them, it's raining. This is a kind of an eerily similar situation to 2 years ago.
Okay.
It was week four, like this week. We went to Baltimore. It rained from the remnants of a tropical weather system. And that was kind of an all-night rain, or all-afternoon rain, if I recall. So rain is in the forecast for this Sunday night. If there's any good news, we're not going to have the worst of the storm then. It does dry out nicely tomorrow to help prepare the field a bit. But Sunday, as the day goes on and as the evening goes on, rain chances actually increase. Mm. It doesn't look terribly heavy, but more of a showery type thing where it's kind of more of a nuisance rather than too much of an impact. You know, I heard you mentioning the ability to dry the ball out all the time, and that should help. But I think it could be slippery on the ground. That could be an issue. But it is going to be, a pretty good chance of showers at any time during the game Sunday night.
Yeah, you know, I remember that game 2 years ago, and that's what it was. It was more of a – it wasn't really heavy at times. I think once or twice it came down a bit heavy. It actually, if I remember right, now that I'm thinking back, halftime it poured, and I'm like, oh, well, good, it's halftime, right? Then we came out of halftime, and it wasn't that bad. But mostly it was, just like Philadelphia last year, was the same thing here, Pat, which was from start to finish of the game – it was just always there. It just never was super bad, but it just always was a part of the game.
And that's the deal here. I mean, and this is taking the most pessimistic view. Could there be some periods of dry weather on Sunday night? Yes. But like you said, it's always going to be there. It shouldn't be terribly heavy, although you got to remember this is remnants of a hurricane. So this is tropical type rains, which is why it's so heavy now. But by Sunday, the system is totally weakened, but it's just going to be there. And I think there's going to be periods of light rain. There will be a bit of a breeze as well, but not too bad. We're talking 10 to, at worst, 20-mile-an-hour easterly wind on Sunday night. But it's going to be just damp, and it's just, like you said, it's just going to be there.
What does this weekend look like in Buffalo, and what are we looking at as far as next week is concerned as we head into October?
Yeah, so fall will really make an appearance next week here. Okay. The weekend here, not bad, mid-70s. Saturday, lots of clouds, again from Helene. Maybe a few spotty showers. Keep your tee-off time. Keep your outdoor plan on Saturday. Sunday, kind of a similar deal. There could be an early shower. But also, we're in the 70s, so it's going to be warm. Lots of clouds, okay, so it's not going to be bright blue sky. But all in all, not a bad fall weekend. Next week, we get a little slap of cold air on Tuesday with some rain. And then let's say by Wednesday, we're going to have highs. October style, low 60s. Our run of summer warmth, I think, comes to an end next week.
All right, buddy. Enjoy your weekend. I'm glad you're doing a lot better. Thanks for the update on that. And yeah, be careful while you're sleeping and coughing and sneezing. And no more jokes. Don't go to the comedy club, okay?
Oh, my God, that's the one. I tell you, again, if my no laughing, and so that's, I'm a guy that loves to laugh, right?
But I know, you do.
It's not on the prescription list with this, for sure.
All right, buddy, have a great weekend. Thanks a lot.
All right, bye, Sal.
All right, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist Pat Hammer there on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Friday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. New anthem now. I mean, even Sean McDermott talking about how cool it is, right? Mr. Brightside. It is a very cool video. And by the way, AJ Feldman from Rochester covers the team. He had a really great video of it. I know others did as well, like a lot of people, but that was the first one I saw and really had a lot of the stuff going on in there, right? Which was, you know, Dawson Knox going up to Spencer Brown, the part like puts his hand in his chest when it talks about putting hands in the chest. There was a point in there was kind of funny. I need to ask Spencer Brown about this, where he like, because you see Dalton Kincaid's dancing around. Dalton's kind of the first guy you see out there in the video going out and dancing to Mr. Brightside. And Spencer kind of put his hand up for a fist bump, and I don't think Dalton saw him. It was kind of funny. Like, he left him hanging. I got to ask Spencer about that. Like, why did Dalton leave you hanging during Mr. Brightside? Dalton was just so into the music, I don't think he saw it, you know?
There was a really cool edit somebody made where it was, like, the videos of all the players dancing around, and then it segues into the song and then the highlights from the game, and it just meshes so perfectly. It's so good.
I love that.
And just the vibe in the stadium. I was screaming the song, too. It was so good.
That was the perfect. You know, but Jeremy and Joe were talking about this morning, and they're like, well, you can't play it all the time. And Joe's like, it's got to be when you're in a comfortable lead. But like, what is that? Like, you don't have that doesn't happen in the NFL. Like, that's so, yes, they did it on Monday, but how often do you expect to be up by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, you got to be able to play it more often than that.
It's also the vibe of a night game, too.
Yeah, like, but I do think, like, if you do it a little too much in every game and too often, it loses its luster a little bit. But, hey, I mean, they made it work with Renegade for a long time in Pittsburgh, they have. And then what do they do in Wisconsin? Jump around right before the fourth quarter starts, right? They do that. That's a really cool one. What other songs are associated with teams?
Well, I mean, the Bills have the Seven Nation Army when they do kickoffs. So,
kickoff,
like, that's
other places do that. I'm saying, though, if you think, for example, Sweet Caroline for the Red Sox, right? Like,
yeah,
that's that. When you hear it, I think if you say sports, you associate that. If you hear that song in sports, you associate it with the Red Sox. You have there's another one I was just thinking of. Oh, I mean, you understand why, but the Yankees always play New York, New York after every game, and even louder when they win. But even if they, but if right. they lose, they still play it.
Yeah.
But it's just very low. But if they win, they play it even louder. Those are some that I know.
Mo Bamba and Penn State.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That one is crazy. Like, it started, I don't know how many years ago now, but it was like, it's a college football thing. Like, look it up. It's such a wild atmosphere.
I'll have to take a look at that. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us on a Buffalo Football Friday. As always, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Of course, our injury report with Sean McDermott was brought to you by the Barnes Firm. It is the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Car crash for help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. We're going to have Sabres Live coming up next. And remember, Sabres do have a preseason game today in Germany against Red Bull München. That is J.J. Paterka's former team. And, of course, with new captain Rasmus Dahlin skating with the C on his jersey in a Buffalo Sabres jersey and uniform, sweater, whatever you want to call it, for the first time. That is at 2:30 p.m. We have pregame and the game beginning at 2 p.m. on the Bet 1520. Then it's going to be One Bills Live, Schopen the Bulldog after that. I'll join them at 5 p.m. today. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you Monday after, hopefully, the Bills go 4-0.